Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Back in here on Thursday, it is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, Marquise with you. Stick to sports coming up at 8:45. 1 hour from now, we will go behind enemy lines. Matt Money Smith, who covers the Chargers, will join us as we'll get the L.A. perspective of this matchup on Sunday against the Titans, which will feature Phillip Rivers against Ryan Tannehill. And here to talk that and all things Nashville sports, we welcome in our pal Joe Rexrode from The Athletic. Rex, how you doing this morning?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to some media hoops. We got media hoops coming. Marquise has worked hard on this, and you guys are all in, right?
Yes, we've been asking Marquise, where's the court? We've been asking him for months where the court is, and we're trying to, like, Nick and I are ready. So,
Joe, I keep referring to you, man. I'm like, Joe's got the court set up.
He keeps blaming you. He's passing the buck.
Yeah, we've got some different options. We'll make it work. Don't worry.
I will say that I did see nice form from you on a 3-point shot on the Twitter machine.
How many takes did that take?
The question is, how many takes?
Yeah. Well, I will say, because Dave Foster, I thanked him because he put out the shot of that. My first one was just an awful air ball. I had to get a warm-up shot. I was like, oh, man. But, yeah, I got it going. I got it cooking a little bit.
Was that altered, like some of those trick shots that kids put up on YouTube these days?
When I saw it, I was like, man, I didn't realize my shot was that pretty. So maybe it was.
although I heard you got scouting reports on me from my boss, Mitch Light, over at Athlon Sports. Ooh. I heard you got a scouting report on me from somebody there.
We've got to get him out there too, because of course Mitch won the 3-point contest, and apparently he's a distributor. So
there you go.
Yeah, he is.
All right, Rex. Well, we'll see if Ryan Tannehill can be a distributor on Sunday. But to be a distributor, you got to be able to stand upright for more than 2.5 seconds. So, what do you make of his possibility of doing anything remotely productive this week and moving forward?
Well, I think that. He's going to get the ball out a little quicker than Marcus. I think we've seen that. And another thing I thought in camp is I thought he was a little bit better at times, standing in there and going through reads. I think in other ways I still think Marcus's ceiling is a little higher than Tannehill's. But, maybe with a team that's struggling to protect, it will help to have, one, the ball coming out a little faster, of course, but also – I think the pass rush and the sacks, some of those have been on Marcus, and some of that has been Marcus taking those eyes down when actually, the pocket was holding, and there was another read to go through and an open receiver, but the eyes were already down. And maybe with Tannehill, the eyes will stay up a little bit longer, and that'll make a difference. But, yeah, obviously the line has to block better. They've got to have balance and Derrick Henry. And those receivers, I think the thing we don't talk about enough is – it's easier to see from the press box. I mean, there's a lot of plays where those receivers are struggling to get separation, and those guys have got to win more often than they have been.
How have you seen over the year and a half of Mike Vrabel's tenure, in dealing with the media? He certainly had a couple of moments very early in his tenure that we sort of had some questions about. Then we sort of, hey, he overcame a lot of adversity in his first year. We gave him compliments and sort of high marks for that. How has he evolved, and are you seeing a different Vrabel? Are you seeing what you need to see from Vrabel in handling this adversity this year?
I think in terms of handling the adversity, it seems fine. It's not like he's melting down or anything like that. He's been fine at press conferences and everything. I think obviously there was a stretch there where there'd be like one decision a week where we're all like, what? And a couple of them I still can't figure out. So you've got the in-game thing, and then look, the bottom line is the product. So I was impressed with how he handled everything last year, and I thought there were a couple days in particular where I thought he won with the game plan, and I just saw a lot more comfort in the offseason from him. You watch them on the practice field, you can't help but be impressed, and I know we talked too much about him, getting into the drills, but I think he's a good teacher, and I think that's a big focus for the staff. But when the product's this bad, then everything comes into question. So that's really what it comes down to right now for me is, you know, this offense is just incredibly bad right now, 7 points in 10 quarters. And that's, you know, he made the decision to elevate his tight ends coach. And a big you know, talking point there was continuity for Marcus. So Marcus doesn't have to mess, you know, change it again. And, you know, Marcus is out. So there's a lot of pressure now on him and on Arthur Smith to put out a better product. It still comes down to that.
Now, Joe, we were talking earlier, and I brought up, you know, hey, listen, a lot of it's going to be on, you know, Mike and Robinson, John. A lot of it's going to be on them. They chose to make the decision to change quarterbacks and try to get a spark plug on this team. And I have no information in regards to what I'm about to ask you. We've seen owners, you know, sort of have their say in public about their team. And it just seemed to me that Amy has given John every opportunity. Amy has said, you hire your offensive coordinator, you hire your coach. And to me, this quarterback move, I can see Amy saying, you know, hey, what's going on with this offense? Y'all need to make a change. She's not going to come out publicly and say it, but I think she's done enough to try to get this organization back to respectability. And now she's looking at it and saying, what is going on with this offense, guys? I've given y'all everything that y'all need. Now y'all need to do something, whether it be the quarterback or someone. Y'all need to do something to get this thing straight. Can you see that being a possibility?
Oh, for sure. And, you know, at the very least, I mean, really, Vrabel confirmed this yesterday. You know, I mean, this is a move that you don't make if you aren't ready to basically tell the public, you know, this is moving forward without Marcus next year. I mean, you could make the argument, allow the coach just look. Vrabel really just thinks Tannehill right now should be in there for a spark, and just that's that. But that's not what this was. This was an organization discussion. And so at the very least, if it wasn't, hey, change the quarterback, it was at least, yeah, it's, you know, the decision, the long-term decision is clear through this move.
She gave the okay.
What's that?
I'm saying, like, Amy gave the okay. Okay, y'all going to do this? Okay, yes. I'm in agreement with it.
Exactly. So we know now, and Marcus knew, and as he was talking yesterday, I mean, he was talking about the short term and about responding and supporting Ryan, but he was talking about his career, too. And, you know, this isn't the end of my career. And, he knows that next year he's going to be finding a new place. So this was definitely much more than just, let's put in this guy to spark this. I mean, sometimes it's a lot more than that, and that's the situation. And, man, I right now I'll tell you guys, you know, one way or another, Marcus Mariota's probably going to end up on that field again this year. I mean, he and Tannehill both have injury history. So, you know, it may not be the end of him doing something for this team, but it's the end of the idea that he'd be the long-term fix or the long-term solution.
Rex, in the first hour of the show, we had a good discussion about athletes and the media and, you know, athletes taking the tough questions when they're struggling. We mentioned the Zach Brown issue in Philadelphia where he called out Kirk Cousins. Cousins had a great game and then asked about it after the game. He didn't want to talk about it, and ultimately he got released. You know, I think you're the perfect guy to ask this question to as a journalist. You know, what is the fine line between media member pushing player for a tough answer and athlete, you know, not wanting to answer the question in front of the media? And we had a really spirited debate on that. Where do you stand on that whole relationship and dynamic?
Well, I'm sorry I didn't hear it. It's a great discussion. You know, to me, I think, first of all, it's individual situations and personalities. And there's just some people you can talk about things with, and some people are going to shut down way early. I mean, it's not one thing across the board. Taylor Lewan, for example, no matter what might happen in a game, and, you know, we all know Taylor Lewan has his moments where he'll just do weird stuff and sometimes hurt his team and all that. But, like, you can ask him whatever, and he'll stand in there and he'll answer the question. And, you can't go too far. And I appreciate that. for all the things that he does at times that, you know, that maybe aren't great, he's at least a pro athlete who kind of understands that, you know what, everybody's in there doing a job, and I make a ton of money doing this, and you guys are a conduit to the fans, and so I'm going to sit here and answer questions. I think that's what everyone needs to understand. Like, you are rich because there's people who want to watch you on TV or at the stadium, and these media people, people look at media people as like, well, I hate that media person or, you know, whatever. And that's fine. That happens too. But we're just the go-between for the people who make all the money possible. And so really you need to step up and answer the questions.
Joe, good stuff as always. We appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you again next week.
And D-Mace, we need you on the court, man.
Hey, I'm there.
I suggested on Twitter that this was a team thing. Like, I want 102.5 Morning Drive to take on the Athletic. Oh. And Joe Rexford immediately was like scared. You were scared and you ran away.
You're going to give me Vingan and Glennon. I couldn't play a game of horse with them. Come on.
Oh, I didn't say it wasn't on purpose, Joe.
You can bring in ringers from other Athletic websites around the other markets. Athletic Atlanta.
No, the ringer's a different website, dude.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, bring Bill Simmons while you're at it.
You can have Marquise. We get Derek.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, Joe.
Okay.
We got Joe Rexrod with us. We do got to get this going.
Yeah, Marquise. Got a court? You've been talking about this
I'm
for
not
months.
The man, first of all, I'm
You've
not from
here.
You've
been talking
about here, this for months. So I don't know where the courts are. That's a Joe thing. Joe is setting up the court.
I play on the streets, dude. 8th Avenue, right across from Greece.
You said we were going sizzling.
I play on the streets.
We going sizzling.
Wait, Derek, can't jump.
Derek's looking at us like,
Sydney.
What?
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, I mean.
There's still a sizzler's open.
Why don't you shut your Diet Coke drinking anorexic malnutritious mouth up?
Listen. We can beat them anywhere. We can beat them anywhere.
Yeah. It's not in the movie.
We can beat them in New England.
We can beat them in Nashville. We can beat them in Goodlettsville.
We can beat them at the Kirk Event Center.
We can beat them anywhere. We can beat them at Bridgestone. We can beat them anywhere. Come on, guys. We got to be determinated, man. We got to be determinated.
We're determinated. All right, here's the truth. The truth is Marquise has 4 months now said, hey, do you guys want to play in a game? And 4 months now we've said, yes, Marquise, we'd love to play in a game. And every time he goes, oh, it's Joe Rexroad's fault.
I think he likes the idea of playing the game, but he really don't want to set it up.
That sounds about right. That sounds like typical millennial.
Exactly. I like the idea
of. I love
that.
You do it for me.
You do it. It's kind of like that commercial. Hey, do you know somebody? Yeah. Well, can you tell them to do this? Can you tell them to do that? Yeah. I forgot what commercial that was.
God, I'd love to mow my lawn, but I think you should do it for me.
Yeah, exactly. You got a lawnmower? Yeah, I got a lawnmower. Hey, well, can you mow my grass for me, please?
Dude, I can't even get my mower started.
Yeah, that's true.
You guys know that.
You don't do things well.
I don't.
Look, the media thing, the media basketball hoops was Joe's idea. He came to me, approached me because, you know, athletic black guy. He knows basketball. Yeah. Better than the rest of these guys. So
Not every brother can play hoops.
Joe's not here to defend himself either.
No, I'm joking. But no, he came up to me and asked me for media hoops. I had this thing with us first before he even approached me about this. So I was just like, hey, we'll just throw two and two together. You got a court. I got players. Let's go.
And that's how we set it up. We have a separate beef that is just Nick and I versus Marquise and Calvin. That's a separate thing we've got to do.
That's an in-house beef.
But then we circle the wagons.
Yeah.
When Morning Drive,
we got a media beef,
just like the Buffalo Bills. Yeah.
When we go 4-on-4 and it's the four of us, we'll take anybody.
Yeah, we'd be any media.
It doesn't matter. What company you work for, what medium you work in, the four of us right here will take you.
Yeah, bring them on.
Okay, we could do it like this then. The Tennessean and the Athletic. We'll combine the two versus the Morning Drive.
Exactly.
Take every television station too. What are you going to do?
Channel 2, 4, whatever. It don't matter.
I would put this collection, I would put the four of us against any media outlet in this city.
Yes.
Yes.
Big facts.
TV.
Big facts.
Internet. Newspaper. Or radio. Bring it.
Whoa.
I got a lot of Jimmer Fredette to my game. You better watch out. I'm going to teach y'all how to Jimmer.
So we determinated, okay?
True story, though. Mitch Light gave a scouting report on me. Basically, I think it's along the lines of completely wild, deceptively
erratic player.
Deceptively athletic, I believe was the quote. Deceptively athletic and can get to the basket. But is a little bit erratic, and that's
you're kind of like a mini Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah, I don't have a jump shot like he does, though. I flail like he does. Like, my elbows flail a lot, and, like, I'm sort of angular and pointy, so when I'm coming in the lane fast, you kind of want to get out of the way because you're trying to protect yourself from, like, the body parts that I can't control.
I just want to cross over the constable, break some ankles.
Oh, that's so easy to do, though.
See him fall down.
That's mean.
All right, we're coming back after this. Stay there. 8:20, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Stick to sports, coming up 8:45. Also this hour, we're going to get to Jeremy Pruitt. Third Saturday in October is upon us. But we were having a good discussion on the media versus athletes, and we, you know, rehashed that conversation a little bit with Joe Rexroad. Well, Chad wants to weigh in on that as well, and you can do so at 737-1025. Chad, you're on Morning Drive. Chad, you go ahead.
Hey, guys. Sorry I couldn't call in earlier. I got a tertiary job that held me from calling in, but since y'all brought it back up with Joe Rexroad, I figured I'd call in and chime in.
Sure.
So my thing with the media, I kind of side with Darren on this. If you really want a truly original answer, then ask him a truly original question. And I hear Jared say this more than anything. He's like, I'm not going to list that because that's just Coach Speak. He's not going to give anything because that's just Coach Speak. But, I mean, for me as a fan, if your coaches and players aren't speaking like that and they don't actually have that mentality of I'm worried about today, then I'm worried about the team, you know? So, I mean, I kind of side with Darren. I feel like the media does try to do things just for clicks. I'd rather hear coach speak than somebody outlandishly speak their mind anyways, because then that makes me worry about the mental fortitude of the team.
Well, you bring up a great point, Chad. First of all, there's a Derek and a Braden on the show. I don't know who Darren is. He hosts the midday show.
Yeah. But I think he meant me.
I think so.
Dang it. My name's Darren?
Yeah.
Darren Mason.
Darren Mason. I think he brings up an interesting point, though, about how, and especially in the social media era where we all just get outraged about everything, it's like, well, we're outraged if you give us coach speak, and then you say something honest, and we're outraged that you gave us something honest, right? Like, in general, I think fans on Twitter or whatever social media forum you're using, it's sort of, you know, we want coaches to be honest, and then the second they're honest, we don't like that they're honest. And I don't like that. I personally would rather someone be a little bit politically incorrect but give me an honest answer. I don't worry about what Chad's saying there about, well, I'm worried about the mental health of the team if a player gives me an off-the-cuff sort of emotional response. I'd say no. I'd say he's a human. I want to hear human responses. Now, I will say this, and I'm not going to pick on a particular medium that is visual and you use a camera to shoot, but there is one particular medium that asks the worst questions of anybody, right? Because TV guy needs 12 seconds of video content to put on his newscast. And I don't like TV guy's question or girl. I don't like those questions because I think they're basic, boring, and not creative to the caller's point. I think when we have people on our show, I don't think we ask bad questions. I think we ask Derek Mason, why is your product unwatchable? You asked Derek Mason that right to his face yesterday, Nick.
Well, not to his face, but over the phone.
That's true. You know, I asked yesterday Ian Ayer over the phone about the soccer stadium. We're not going to ask... You know, talk about your schedule, coach. You know, talk about your mindset. That's not what we do. And so I think the majority of media members do a pretty good job of asking the question they know the fans want the answer to.
And
that's what it's about. It's what the fans want to know. It's, Marcus, how did you feel when you got benched? That's what he had to be asked because that's what the fans want to know.
One of the best exchanges now for back-to-back weeks has been somebody with the Texans media asking Deshaun Watson really good questions. And you can find it. It was a big talk of social media for the last couple of Sundays. Deshaun Watson has given unbelievably good answers.
And listen, and Rexroad said it. Taylor Lewan, generally speaking, gives very thoughtful and responsible answers. He stands up there as the voice and the highest paid player and sort of the leader of the team and accepts the responsibility to answer questions. He does that pretty well. Now, he goes and acts like a knucklehead on Twitter sometimes, like 2 days later. But in the moment, when they lost to Buffalo, he answered every question. In the moment against Denver, he answered every question. So I think there are certain guys who are better than that. Like Derrick Henry is just not going to give you anything. Like I'm not trying to goat him or get clicks out of him or whatever, but he's not going to give me an answer. He's going to say, we need to be better. We got to keep practicing. We got to stick together. We need to be better. He's just going to give me coach speak. I personally prefer the Lawan type of answer because at least I'm getting some honesty.
Did you give the media stuff when you played here in Baltimore, or were you considered, or maybe you're not even aware of what the media thought of you, were you considered a cliched answer guy, or were you spitting truth a lot?
No, I just spoke, you know, the truth. I spoke my truth. I wasn't going to throw anybody under the bus just for the sake of a media guy getting, you know, a click or, you know,
you were inflammatory, right?
Yeah, I just, this, I am going to, you ask me a question, I'm going to give you my truth, and you take it from there. I never held back, but I always was tactful in how I answered the question because, again, yeah, I'm going to give you a good answer, but don't expect me to throw my teammates under the bus. Don't expect me to start a commotion in a locker room. Because that's what you want. No, I'm going to give you my honest answer, but I'm going to give it to you in such a way that hopefully it does answer your question, but then, two, right, it's not going to, you know, put my team in a position where now they're questioning, you know, where's your loyalty at, Derek? You know, why are you doing? No, it's, I was taught from a player standpoint, When a question is asked of you, when someone asks you a question, take your time. You're not in a rush. They want the answer, you know. So you're not in a rush to answer their question. Take your time. Think about what you're gonna say, and then say it. Don't feel rushed because obviously they're coming to you because they want an answer. So don't feel rushed. Don't make it seem like you gotta answer it a certain way. No, answer it the way you're gonna answer it. In such a way.
Think about it.
Be tactful in it. And don't throw your teammates under the bus. And that's how I've always approached it. I've always been engaging. I've been upset at times. But they're asking questions about what they see. You know, and a lot of times, I don't think I've ran into any media member that tried to fabricate a story or tried to make up something that
because you get
that
fired.
Wasn't out there
because you get fired if you do that
or tried to, you know, prod. I don't think maybe I have and I handled it a certain way, but I don't recall.
I think more people could learn from you in general, young people in particular. Mm-hmm. Tact is something that's just disappearing, mm-hmm. whether and largely on social media, and you can't, again, Twitter's not real life, I know. Mm-hmm. But tact is something that, like, young, it feels like, again, maybe I'm just getting old and get off my lawn and I'm Mr. Bruno here, but, like, I do feel like that tact is something that is slowly devolving. Like, we're not as tactful as we used to be, and I think that that's, in an effort to be inflammatory or go viral or whatever, we're the ability to be engaging and answer your question, but also do it in a classy, respectful, tactful way. I think is that's a lost art to some degree. Mm-hmm. I think young people, just in general in life, I've worked with a few that just don't have the ability to understand what tact is all about and how to interact with people. So there's certain guys in locker rooms that know how to do it. And here's what I'll say. If you want to, my personal opinion, because I did not like Belichick and Brady laughing about the sexual assault question. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it. I thought it was, I love Belichick's shtick. I think it's funny. But when you bring in an accused sexual assaulter, you owe your fans an answer to the question. And I did not like Belichick saying one word. I didn't like Brady laughing about it. I thought it was disrespectful just in general to the issue. You know who was an unbelievable answer on the Patriots during that Antonio Brown stuff? And if you want a PR lesson, go listen to this guy's answer. Matthew Slater gave a perfect answer to the Antonio Brown question.
Special team stud.
He basically said, and again, I'm paraphrasing here, and it's a longer answer than this, but basically he just said, I do not want to minimize the issue of sexual assault, but I would be lying to you if I told you I understood all the details of what's going on, so I can't really comment on the situation with X, Y, and Z. Like, he gave a picture-perfect, I care about this, this is important, but I can't comment on it because I don't know anything and I can't say anything to you guys. Go listen to Matthew Slater's answer. And if you run a PR firm, that's the guy I want running my PR firm, because that was an answer that it paid attention to the gravity of the situation while also not commenting.
When somebody laughs, what I've come to know and learn is that the laugh is not the laugh. It's a laugh of, it's like a default setting. I don't feel comfortable answering that question. So a lot of people kind of like smirk or laugh. And they're not laughing at the situation. They're just laughing because they don't know how to answer it. So their default, just like a is a default or a man is a default when you're talking to someone.
Mm-hmm.
I think
Tom
a default
Brady's pretty comfortable.
Of some people. But no, we think he's comfortable, but we really don't know him like that. And we some questions he answered, he just laughed it off like, man, I really don't. It's like a default
for
some people.
He laughed at the follow-up question. And, again, I know he wasn't laughing at a sexual assault victim. I know that. But what happened was is he was asked the question. He said no. And somebody followed up and said, so you really don't think that this is something you need to blah, blah, blah? And he's like, didn't I just answer? And I'm kind of like, dude, Tom, like, come on, man. Like,
yeah.
Like you and Belichick have this shtick, but when it comes to stuff like this, you need to go further. You need to give us a real answer. And instead, you made your special teams guy do all the work for you. And I didn't particularly like that one situation. But again, I thought Matthew Slater's answer on that topic was spectacular.
Speaking of an answer, Jeremy Pruitt has the answer. He has the strategy on how the Tennessee Volunteers will defeat Alabama this Saturday in Tuscaloosa. You'll hear from the ball coach coming up next.
I'm going to tell you how you can defeat Father Time. Because, man, we're not getting any younger. But here's a way that you can slow down that clock and feel like a young man again, okay? And you do it by going to see my good folks at Cool Springs MD. They're my friends. I'm slowing down that age thing because I've been over there. And I've been telling you this for over a year now. Men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalance. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife, Daphne, along with that experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, Franklin, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune system. Man, we need not get a cold because when we get a cold, we act like little babies. I'm just telling the truth because I do it myself. Immune systems, energy levels. That's what I talk about, the energy level. When I step into this building in the morning, my energy levels are high. Why? Because I go see the good folks at Cool Springs MD. Not only your energy levels, but your cognitive functions and more. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy, enriched life. And there's no better time now to achieve a healthier lifestyle. Men, what are you waiting on, okay? What are you waiting for? On, it don't matter. But what are you waiting for? Give Cool Springs MD a call today. Make your appointment, okay? Just pick up your phone. Here's the digits right here. Write it down. Store it in your phone. That's Cool Springs MD. 615-486-3458. 615-486-3458. Or visit their website like I did and I continue to do, CoolSpringsMD.com.
Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, the game where we question the answers and then we answer the questions. Stick to sports coming up at 8:45. We'll try to answer as many of those questions as we can, but usually we just run out of time. And then Marquis saves the questions for the next day, and that's the way the process is made.
Recycle, baby.
Exactly. One thing that's not recyclable is what a real small, I believe, college program does and has success that Jeremy Pruitt might actually try to put into practice.
Okay.
Saturday night at Bryan Denny Stadium. So apparently.
You mean falling down to fake injuries?
Maybe that. Could very well be. All hands on deck Saturday night.
Yeah, no strategy is a bad strategy.
That's correct. Point. When you're a 35-point dog in a big rivalry game that hasn't been a rivalry for 12 years, yes.
On the road.
Exactly. So here's Jeremy Pruitt on how the Vols can defeat Alabama.
You know, I was thinking about, you know, there's a high school team over in Arkansas. You know, they always onside kick, okay? They never punt, you know, because I don't know. I've never seen them play. I always hear people talk about it, you know. In fact, they played one of the high school teams here in our state this year. Somebody was talking about it. So, you know, we've really kind of considered that as our game plan. Just don't give them the ball, you know, if we can do that.
Well, there you go. If you're going to beat Alabama, you don't give Tua the ball.
All right, so this guy in Arkansas has been famous for a couple of years now, and for those that don't know, he literally goes for two every time. He onside kicks it every time, and he goes for it on fourth down every time. Literally, he's like, I'm playing the numbers, I'm playing the stats, it's all analytics. If I go for it and I convert on 53% of my fourth downs, I'm going to score more points this many times. Like, it's all data-driven, right? And it is a thing that has won him, like, six championships in Arkansas as a high school coach, something crazy like that. I want to see him do it. I want to see him do it. I don't think for one second he has the stones.
No.
But I want to see him do it. Now, I don't know if the onside kick thing is the percentages to play. I don't know about that. But going for it on fourth down, going for two, I can see those being the percentile plays that you need to go after. The problem is that doesn't really help you cover Jerry Jeudy or Henry Ruggs or Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle or Najee Harris or any of the other studs they have on offense. It doesn't help you stop those guys because they are going to get the ball at some
point. But it does bring into the question, and I've said this now for a couple of weeks with the Vols, when you are as bad as they are and you're having the issues you're having, there is a strategy that comes into mind of, look, I mean, we have nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. We're a 34.5 point underdog. We're probably going to get beat 52-13. What the hell? Let's just go for it. And I'm not saying onside kick repeatedly, but I was really impressed a couple of weeks ago when Muschamp in South Carolina pretty much were all hands on deck against Alabama. They ran a few fake punts. They went for it on fourth down. Now, they got beat 47-23, but they had moments of where they said, you know what, we're going to take our shots here.
Yeah, I think sometimes when you face an opponent that's just superior to you, you got to come up with unconventional ways to try to score points or keep the ball from them.
Like, we're not playing field position.
Yeah, exactly. Here. I remember we were playing Indianapolis 1 year when I was here, and we had a bunch of injuries, mainly on defense. We had some few injuries on offense, and we went down to Indianapolis. And this is when, you know, Peyton and Marvin and, you know, Edrin, they had this, and Dallas Clark, they had this prolific passing game. And we knew we weren't going to, if we played it straight up, we knew we weren't going to be able to beat these guys, to, you know, scoring tit for tat. Because we were injured on defense and we couldn't stop them. So what we did as a unit and as a team is we employed, you know, we did onside kicks. We did a bunch of, you know, fake things that were unconventional, things that we were not used to doing. And it kept us in the game for a minute until finally, just finally, you know, the better team end up, you know, doing what they do. And Indianapolis end up beating us by, I think, you know, more than 14 points. But we gave ourselves an opportunity because of some of the unconventional things we chose to do within the game. And maybe, just maybe, you know, that's what UT has to do, at least to try to give themselves an opportunity early on. But I think eventually, you know, the better team's going to weather the storm and they're going to win.
I don't know how you beat Alabama conventionally. You can't do it. Now, here's what I have no problem with them going for it on fourth down, doing some of those things he's talking about. I also have them running the play clock down to 1 second in the first quarter. Like, I would say, like, I don't care if you pick up three first downs, make it a 4 minute drive. Yeah. Right? Take time off the clock. Like, you've got to shorten the game somehow. There's a reason, and this is what, it was funny, I was watching when North Carolina and Clemson struggled, mm-hmm. or when Clemson struggled with North Carolina, it was a 2:30 kick, and I was watching all the 2:30 games at that time. The Clemson North Carolina game, which was decided on the 2-point conversion that North Carolina missed, and it was a close game, but they had a chance to win it at the end. That game ended like 30 minutes earlier than all the other 2:30 games did. You want to know why? Because North Carolina shrunk the game. Mm-hmm. North Carolina wanted to keep Trevor Lawrence off the field. They ran the football. Alabama has four true freshmen starting in its front seven. Hand the football off. Run the play clock down. Milk it as long as you can. Just try to shorten the game, especially in the first half. And maybe you find yourself in a game in the second half. Go for it on fourth down a couple times once you get outside the 40-yard line. Like, don't go for it on your own 5-yard line. On 4th and 13, mm-hmm. you know, use some common sense. But, like, by and large, if you want to go for it on more than, like, what do you have to lose? Like, you're a 35-point underdog. Go for it on fourth down. Bleed the clock as much as you can. Run the football against a defense that's very young. And try to stay on the field, even if you don't score points. Mm-hmm. Just try to stay on the field. Because you cannot beat Alabama playing Alabama's game. You can't do it. Maybe LSU can. Maybe Clemson can. Maybe Ohio State can. Maybe Oklahoma. Even then, I doubt most of those teams can do it. But you got to be in that rarefied territory to go toe-to-toe with Alabama and try to win. You just can't do it.
That really should be the blueprint for a lot of these teams in the conference this weekend, because Tennessee's a 34-point underdog. Arkansas is almost a 20-point home dog.
I like Arkansas to play better in that game.
Mississippi State's a 19-point home dog. Kentucky's a 25-point dog. And, oh, by the way, yeah, Vanderbilt, you're a 3-touchdown home dog as well.
Look at the rest of the top teams in college football, too. Like, I'll give you a second to pull up the point spreads, but
which one you want?
Oklahoma's hosting West Virginia.
33.5.
There you go. You've got Ohio State at Northwestern.
28.
these are all the same game plans, right? If you're Northwestern at home, if you're West Virginia, if you're Tennessee against Alabama, all these teams that are going up against LSU at Mississippi State, the game plan has to be non-conventional, and it has to be to slow the game down and keep the other offenses off the field. Because what's happening, and this is not an original thought here, but college football already has the best teams stockpiling the best players. You've also they also all now have the super quarterback, right? Like, Oklahoma has all the best players in the Big 12, by and large. Ohio State has a better roster than everybody in the Big 10. Alabama has, by and large, the best collection of talent in the SEC for the last however many years. LSU nipping on their heels. Clemson has the best players in the ACC. But guess they not only do they have the best rosters and all the best talent with the best coaches, but they all have the Uber guy, the Uber quarterback with Fields and Hurts and Tua and Trevor and Burrow. And so it's going to be hard to crack into that group. I still think pretty highly of Georgia. I know everybody's down on them. I wouldn't punt on them just yet. I still think they're gonna have something to say. You know, Florida, they don't have the Uber quarterback, right? Like, that's Trask is solid, but that's what separates, I think, this top five and six from everybody else is their quarterbacks.
Time for Silly Underdogs. Make your picks now for the three college football underdogs that you think will win outright this Saturday. Weekly winners will get a pair of tickets to an upcoming Nashville sporting event or concert. You can go to thegamenashville.com or the ESPN Game Nashville mobile app and play today. Silly Underdog Picks brought to you by the Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We will come back and stick to sports next on Morning Drive. It is Morning Drive. No, not Whitney Houston today. Marquise says, you know, I'm fair and balanced, just like Fox News. I'm going to come back with a little Mariah Carey. I like this.
I'm so into you. Tell me what.
It really bothers you that I like Mariah as much as you like Whitney.
Yeah,
Whitney.
It does.
It should not bother you.
It does, because you would take Mariah over Whitney. That bothers
Yeah.
me. No, it bothers me.
Most men with a set of eyes would.
Not most. A young Whitney. Yeah, Mariah.
Whitney Houston Whitney Houston wasn't exactly chump change.
Okay? No, of course not. No.
It's all right. I'll take Brittany Howard. It's fine. You guys can have the other two.
Okay. You take Ryan Howard. We'll take anywho.
Well, you can have the Houston Rockets.
Not Dwight Howard. Let's stick to sports.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
Basically.
And stick to sports. Now, on Morning Drive.
All right, Mace, you know the drill.
Stick to Sports is brought to you by Decorated Den Interior. Stick with the pros at Decorated Den. When you're ready to decorate your home, office, outdoor spaces, set up a complimentary appointment, all right?
I was waiting for that.
DecoratedDen.com.
Like a dramatic pause there.
Yeah,
like
a pause. Dun, dun, dun.
Number one.
All right, since we just talked Vols and talked Alabama, let's talk about this Alabama student that called a bomb threat at Tiger Stadium on Saturday night to alter the LSU-Florida game because, and here's his reasoning, he has a reason for this, he was on the verge of losing a large bet.
Well, then that's totally acceptable.
It just
job well done by him.
It just means too much.
It means stupidity.
It wasn't me. I was on the right side. I had LSU.
Fan is short for fanatic. It's not short for logical or reasonable or rational.
So he called in. I saw that.
It just means too much.
Threat, a bomb scare.
I think kids do not understand how serious the things they do are.
Dude, seriously?
Hey, you ever been on the wrong side of trying to cover a spread?
No.
It's not a good feeling.
I'm pretty sure it's not, but then whose fault is that?
Maybe if you're a college kid and the results of your actions require you to call in a bomb threat, maybe you shouldn't have done it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe you shouldn't have placed that much money down on an Alabama LSU game as an Alabama student.
Mm-hmm.
With probably some random bookie walks around campus at age 42 years old, you know, preying on college kids with, you know, their parents' wallets.
Did you ever pull down a fire alarm as a kid?
I don't think I did. I always wanted to, though.
I
want to do it right now.
Like, every now and then in sports, you hear of a story like, you know, the Packers were staying at so-and-so's hotel on a road trip, and somebody pulled a fire alarm at 3 in the morning.
How about the Ravens-49ers Super Bowl?
Yeah.
The lights go out.
Yep.
Think that was an accident? Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Goodell.
No.
Goodell wanted that game closer.
Mm-hmm.
Don't call in bomb threats that aren't real, people.
Yeah.
I don't think that's too much to ask.
Mm-hmm. Grow up and stop gambling.
Number two.
Yeah, all right.
Unless you want to slide into Nick's DMs for picks.
Exactly.
I don't know what you charge for those, but...
Not enough.
See, I know you guys don't go out often, but you guys do understand the concept of ladies' night, right?
Ladies' night, of course.
Okay, so there's a Queens man suing a Manhattan nightclub for discrimination because he had to pay a $20 entry fee for a ladies' night while women got in free, pretty much. So there's a lawsuit because he had to pay a cover charge of $20. Now he's suing for $50,000 in a Manhattan Supreme Court because he couldn't get in ladies' night.
When is it?
For $20. Like, come on, dude.
When are men in this country going to catch a break?
I agree, especially white men.
Like, it's just so ridiculous. Exactly. Like, the most persecuted group of people in this country is clearly white men.
Yep.
So
there you go. I mean, the ladies' night has been going on forever. It's been going on forever. And, you know, you pay an extra.
Would you pay to go to a bar
if it's ladies' night?
No, I wouldn't either. That's on you. Decide not to go.
Don't go, man.
But you got an app that can take care of whatever you need that night?
Exactly.
I'll tell you what I do need, though. I need a dude's night. Like, I need a poker game.
Ooh, I'm with you on that.
College football on in the background on a Saturday night, some beers.
How about Thursday nights? Let's get a poker game
going.
Yeah,
why not?
Let's get a poker game going on Thursday nights.
I used to love poker nights.
You're not good at poker?
No, I'm not.
You're invited.
Yeah, I'm not good either.
You're invited.
Yeah, your money always plays with us.
Your money plays with us.
Bring
boys.
That American Express card. I got an ATM in my basement.
Hey, you can
just keep reloading.
You don't
reloading.
Know how to play that well? Oh, you can come. Come on.
Because here's the deal. I only play poker when I know my level of competition. I know my own limits, and I know when I'm going to lose, and I don't play in those games. Yeah, I know when I've matched up with even players, that's when I have fun. That's when I enjoy it because then it's gambling and then it's real poker. I don't want to play with people that I know are better than me. I just avoid that situation altogether.
I mean, I'm good at Uno. Does that count?
No,
not really.
Number three.
All right. So speaking of cards, now an Iowa man was accused of possessing of a fake ID. This 20-year-old was arrested for having a fake ID, and guess what his ID said? It was a Hawaii ID with the name McLovin on it, and it was date of birth 06/03/1981. So this Iowa kid has now been arrested for having a fake ID at a bar.
He's 20? He's 20 years old?
Yeah, he's 20.
So he's pretending to be 38?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Why just come pretend to be 21?
Right? Just get one that makes it more reasonable.
Exactly.
Also, not McLovin.
But it was basically a McLovin
ID. I love that scene from Superbad. McLovin, really? McLovin, one name? You're going to go with one name?
Speaking of fake IDs, the best was when in Rush Hour, Chris Tucker gives Jackie Chan his police ID.
Oh, my God.
And Jackie Chan looks at it and he goes, they're never going to believe I'm 6'3".
So,
not the fact that I'm Asian and he's black, but no, I'm too short.
So a reference to one of the funniest movies of our generation as it pertains to an ID inspires you to talk about Rush Hour 3?
Rush Hour 2.
Rush Hour 2. So instead
get your Rush Hour script.
Instead of quoting Superbad.
Yeah.
One of the funniest movies of our time.
I pivoted to a bad movie.
You pivoted to Rush Hour 2.
Yes.
Man.
That's what I'm here for.
Okay.
I mean, kids nowadays, I'm not surprised because kids nowadays, they got fake IDs when you're in college and whatever. You got a fake ID.
Have the statutes of limitation run out on us? I had a fake ID when I was in college.
I never had one.
I never had one either.
Yeah. I had it for one thing. I needed it for one thing. And that was to go on a spring break trip my freshman year of college.
Mm. Where'd you go?
The Redneck Riviera, baby. Mm. Sandpiper Beacon. I drank Bud Ice out of a keg for seven days straight.
Is spring break still a thing college kids do? Like,
I think it is.
Like, go to Fort Lauderdale, Florida?
It's just bigger now. Like,
they hadn't jumped a shark. It's still there.
No, you go to, like, Cabo or Cancun.
These kids are going other places now.
Yeah, it's all fancy.
I went to Panama one year for spring break.
Did you really?
When I was in college, yeah.
Panama.
Same beach that Dak Prescott got knocked out.
That's the Redneck Riviera. That's where I was with the Sandpiper Beacon, which is the hotel that has its own tiki bar. And if you know what I'm talking about,
you know what I'm talking about.
Didn't know what to say there.
Because there's a really good spring break episode of Married with Children where Bud and the his college boys.
Was it Bud or was it Grandmaster B?
It was Grandmaster B. It's a good pull by you. They go to Fort Lauderdale, and what do they find out? They find Alan Jefferson there judging Miss Spring Break.
Yes, I saw that one.
Unbelievable episode.
Grandmaster V.
Exactly. Have you all seen that Seth Rogen has a response to this kid getting arrested? Have you seen
that?
Yeah,
I saw
that.
No, I didn't.
Fogel! Come on, Fogel.
Fogel.
Number four.
Oh, all right, so a Philly football coach faces a $500 fine for allowing his team a blowout win. Now, basically, and Nick, this is in your neck of the woods, and he's a brother-in-law of a former Eagle as well. He basically ran up the score on a team, on a youth football team, and all of a sudden he's getting fined for it. But what he said was basically, look, I'm not going to tell my kids to back off just because, you know, I'm not going to tell my kids to stop playing hard because we're up 30-0. So he kept, you know, allowing his kids to play. They went up 36-0, and then all of a sudden he gets a $500 fine for it. And Torrey Smith is his brother-in-law. So, that's how it kind of got a big name out of it.
Can you get fined for something like that?
Well, there are certainly run rules where a game ends.
Yeah, when you get 10 runs or whatever. I think it's just in the game.
Doesn't high school football have the mercy rule where when you're up 35, the clock keeps running?
Yeah, it's a running clock, yeah. But that, okay, here's the thing. I don't blame the guy.
He was trying to cover the spread.
No, you just keep playing. Jeez. But we're trying to teach our kids what? To continue to play hard, give 100%, yada, yada. We're trying to teach them all that. But it changes when you're up by three touchdowns. Now you don't have to give it 100%. Now you don't have to go out there and do the things you're supposed to do. Don't confuse these kids, okay? If you're telling them to give 100% at the beginning, they need to be giving it 100% even if they're up 30. That's just the way it is.
So I'd heard I'm a big anti participation trophy. Uh-huh. I'm very anti this, and you know, teach your kids to prepare them for the world. You know, I get all that. Like losing is a thing in real mm-hmm. life. You need to learn how to lose and all that stuff. I saw a stand up comedian Gary Gilmore, I think, who's dealt with a lot of severe depression and mental health issues, and he does a whole bit about participation trophies. Like he's like, what's the problem with participation trophies? I know all you parents want to prepare your kids for losing, but like, you know, like life is gonna do that to them eventually. Like you just lose in life all the time. And there was one of those moments where I kind of said, you know what, that kind of makes sense. Maybe for a moment, I actually thought, oh, maybe participation trophies are okay. Just for a moment.
No, they're not.
And then I came back to reality.
Yeah, so basically less than 2 minutes left, he called a timeout to pull his starters and basically pulled in the kids that never played. And then there was one play where a five-year-old boy got the ball, ran towards the end zone, and the coach was telling him to fall down because obviously he didn't want to run up the score. Mm-hmm. He was telling him to fall down, but the kid just still scored. But he faces a two-game suspension and a $500 fine.
Oh,
and his quote was, I have three sons. I'm not going to tell my son, especially if he's running the ball, don't go out there and give it your all. So.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like, and whoever want to find this man, shame on you. I mean,
just end the game. Just have a rule.
Just end the game. Yes.
You're up 36 points. Game's over.
Game's over. We're going to end the game. Yeah. That's what you do instead of telling, oh, you can't. Don't tell your kids to play hard. Yeah. Why not? Yeah.
All right, Stick to Sports is over. We're going to go into the victory formation and take a knee. We're done scoring. But we'll come back in the fourth quarter and kick it off with Mad Money Smith. Mad Money Smith, obviously host of the Petros and Money Show in Los Angeles. He also doubles as the play-by-play voice for the LA Chargers. We will go behind enemy lines, get a preview on the Titans' opponent next on Morning Drive.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No